Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
We're resuming a cursed journey from Mathura to Vrindavan, contemplating meeting Krishna. And so far, it's been a wave of, according to our acharyas, sanchari bhavs, this emotion, that ecstatic emotion, next ecstatic emotion. And his thoughts are going to continue, but this one is a little different. It's not just an ecstatic emotion. It's some pretty heavy philosophy. So put on your philosophy cap. Here we go. Text number 11, 1038:11. He, Krishna, he is the witness of material cause and effect, yet he is always free from false identification with them. Them means cause and effect. By his internal potency, and this is an important phrase, by his internal potency, sva-mayaya, by his internal potency, there's also sva-tejasa in the same verse, his personal potency, his material creative potency. So by his internal potency, he dispels the darkness of separation and confusion. We'll hear about separation and confusion. Vidha, the idea of being separate. And Brahma, B-H-R-A-M-A, bewilderment. So by his internal potency, he dispels the darkness of separation. Separation. Now, living entities are separated material energy, bina, prakriti, astada. But the word is not bina, it's vidha. Or in the teaching of Kapila to Devahuti, living entities, even in devotional service, if their interests are separate from Krishna's interests, then they're in this separate category. They're connected but separate. He, Prabhupada, translates it as the separatist mentality. So his internal potency dispels that, the darkness of separation and Brahma, confusion. The individual souls in this world who are manifested here, when he glances upon his material creative energy, that's this swamayaya, indirectly they perceive him in the activities of their life airs, prana, and senses and intelligence. So we're going to hear a long BBT purport first. In this verse, of course, establishes the all-powerful position of the Supreme Lord. This is his Aishwarya aspect, opulence aspect, whom he is about to see in Vrindavan. The false concept of separation from the Lord is described in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, 11.237. Vayam dutiyama binivesitakshyat ishad apetasya viparyayo smritihi. Although all existence emanates from the absolute truth, Krishna, we imagine a, quote, second thing, this material world, to be entirely separate from the Lord's existence, with this mentality, we try to exploit that, quote, second thing for our sense gratification. Thus, the psychological underpinning of material life is the illusion that this world is somehow separate from God and therefore meant for our enjoyment. So it's not just living entities being separate, but it's the Prakriti being seen disconnected, separate from. And so his internal potency dispels that separatist mentality. But the separatist mentality, back to Kapila, that's even in devotional service. One may see the purpose of my devotional service is about me. And so Krishna's interest is separate. And the objects that we engage with in devotional service, similarly not seeing connected with, but not, but in a separate position from Krishna. So that connectedness with Krishna is bhakti. Paragraph. It is ironic that the impersonal philosophers, in their radical renunciation of this world, claim it to be utterly false and totally separate from the Absolute. Unfortunately, this artificial attempt to divest this world of its divine nature, or, in other words, its relation to God, does not lead people to utterly reject it, but rather to try to enjoy it. While it is true that the world is temporary, and thus, in one sense illusory, the mechanism of illusion is a spiritual potency of the Supreme Lord. You can't be in Maya without the Lord giving some potency to be in Maya. That's irony, isn't it? Realizing this, we should immediately desist from any attempt to exploit this world. Rather, we should recognize it as God's energy. We will actually give up our material desires only when we understand that this world belongs to God and is therefore not meant for our selfish gratification. Paragraph. The word abhiyate here refers to a process of surmising the presence of the Lord through meditative introspection. Abhiyate. This process is described in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, 2.35, which reads, Bhagavan sarva-bhuteshu lakshita svamana harihi drishyam buddhi adibhir dhastha drashta lakshanair anu mapakai. Translation. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being, along with the individual soul, and this fact is perceived and hypothesized by our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. That's a very interesting verse, a really fascinating purport. Paragraph. Akura states that the Lord is free of the egoistic pride afflicting ordinary embodied souls. Yet, the Lord appears to be embodied like everyone else, and therefore someone might object to the statement that he is free of egoism. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments on this puzzle as follows, quote, how can we distinguish between being free of false ego and being afflicted by it? quote, if a living entity is situated in the body, argues our objector, he will encounter the unhappiness and confusion that occur within it, just as a person living in a house, whether he be attached to it or not, cannot avoid experiencing the darkness, warmth, and cold that occur within it, unquote. I'll read it again. This objection is answered as follows. Colon. By his internal potency, the Lord dispels the darkness of ignorance along with the separateness and bewilderment it produces. So let's read it again. It's an interesting paragraph. Starting at the beginning of the paragraph. Akura states that the Lord is free of the egoistic pride afflicting ordinary embodied souls. Yet, the Lord appears to be embodied like everyone else. And therefore, someone might object to the statement that he is free of egoism. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this puzzle as follows, quote, how can we distinguish between being free of false ego and being afflicted by it? For example, if a living entity is situated in a body, our objector will argue, if a living entity is situated in a body, he will encounter the unhappiness and confusion that occurs within it, just as a person living in a house, whether he is attached to it or not, cannot avoid experiencing the darkness, warmth, and cold that occurs within it. This objection is answered as follows. What's that? By his internal potency, the Lord dispels the darkness of ignorance along with the separateness and bewilderment it produces. So it's this protection of the Lord and anyone who is connected with him as well is by the agency of his internal potency. The darkness of ignorance goes away, sense of separateness goes away, world bewilderment goes away. So we're going to read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, which begins, quote, one should realize the beauty of human-like form of Krishna with the eyes. So he's paraphrasing Akura's words. Krishna is now in Nandagram, but as he resides in the heart, he can be realized through inference, like me. There exist many people everywhere who must see him in this way. He is the seer of the good and bad actions of all jivas. Though residing in all bodies, he is devoid of false bodily identification. Aham rahitopi. Though the jiva has false identity, he, Krishna, resides in all entities, devoid of false ego, as the witness of everything. Unquote. That's paraphrasing, summary, the Kura's verse. So then he poses a question. Why should there be consideration of having or not having false ego? As long as one is situated in a body, he must be subject to sorrow and delusion. If one is situated in a house, whether attached or unattached, he'll experience darkness, hot, or cold. Then the reply, quote, by the chit shakti or sva tejasa, because that's in the verse, sva tejasa, that's, he's equating, it takes a while to get used to how our acharyas use terminology or Anyway, so chit shakti is used interchangeably with sva tejasa, that's his potency, and it's also, we're going to hear, it's used interchangeably with yogamaya. Now there's different aspects of yogamaya that are very specific, but there's an overlap. It's not a one-to-one correlation interchangeably in all circumstances. But so his spiritual potency, that's chit shakti. That's standard. Chit shakti means spiritual potency. Spiritual potency means chit shakti. There's divisions of his spiritual potency. Yogamaya being one of them. But so another term, chit shakti, is sva tejasa in the verse. So by chit shakti or sva tejasa, ignorance and its results, namely separateness and illusion, cannot touch him. He's far from that by his spiritual potency. Ignorance and its results, separateness and illusion, cannot touch him. That's what the verse is saying, and the verse is addressing a doubt. How is it you can be free from false ego if you have a body? Everyone knows it's like, you know, you're in a house, you may not be attached to it through false ego, but you experience it's hot or cold or light or dark. You experience those things. So by chit shakti, there's not identification. That's the illusion kind, the separateness kind, the ignorance kind. From the creation of the jiva, this is not the soul, it's the covering. The jiva in that sense is the body-mind of the living entity. From the creation of the jiva, endowed with prana, senses, and intelligence, that's in the verse. Prana, we know. Senses, we know. Intelligence, we know. Part of the covering. One can infer the creator and infer his presence in each body. As it has been said, guna prakashayar anumiyate bhavan. Where is that from? That's from the prayers by the demigods to Krishna within the womb. Canto 10, chapter 2, that phrase comes in that section. Guna prakashayar anumiyate bhavan. Meaning, the most fortunate result is to realize the beauty of your form. So we'll hear some more. The other commentators are going to use that same reference. Guna prakashai means guna prakashai, prakash, the awakening of such transcendental knowledge. In this case, guna, the quality of Krishna is being awakened by the most fortunate persons. Anumiyate means becomes manifested, and bhavan is your lordship. So Prabhupada's translation of that BBT is, only by your presence can one understand the transcendental nature of your lordship. Only by your presence. There's this, it's an important philosophical point and a practical application point. Meditation, the process of meditation without bhakti is possible. And let's say the yogis, they're practicing at meditation, and after long, 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 many lifetimes, much austerity, they may be able to meditate upon the Paramatma feature of the Lord. And they may even realize the Paramatma feature of the Lord. But like Gopakumar going to Tapaloka, they were able to meditate upon the form of the Lord. And they liked it. They would do it for a long, long time because it was, they felt something. But that kind of meditation is not the same as directly seeing, which is the Krishna situation also. In his heart, he's seeing. But he wants to, in Krishna's presence, see. So that's what's being discussed here. What's the highest stage of seeing? It's not just your the physical eyeball, or the senses that are that are powering the sense organ, but it's at the soul level, that direct experience through the medium of the sense organ and the power of sense. That's made possible by Krishna's Chit Shakti. He can reveal himself. We don't have to go see him. He can just reveal himself at any time, however he likes. But it's a lila where he's anticipating going to see Krishna. So, from the creation of the jiva endowed with prana, senses, intelligence, one can infer the creator and infer his presence in each body, as it has been said, guna prakashayar anumiyate bhavan, meaning the most fortunate result is to realize the beauty of your form. So we're going to hear some more. There's commentary next by Jiva Goswami, who writes, three verses are joined together. So that's 11, 12, and 13. Three verses. Three verses are joined together with the main clause in verse 13, which is, he appeared in the Satvata dynasty. So, occurs also in the Satvata dynasty, or the Yadu dynasty, it's another term. So his position, Krishna's position, is beyond cause and effect. That's what's being said. And he's the source of the cause and effect, but he's not attached to the cause and effect. And he has his spiritual position always, whether it's in the creation or appearing in the Satvata dynasty or whatever. He's clear. He's transcendental. He's not just a family member or relative. He's not just the cause of cause and effect, but he is not at all identified with it. He's expanding on Krishna Tattva. So here's the BBT translation of text 13 of this chapter. That same Supreme Lord has descended into the dynasty of the Satvatas to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion he has created. Residing in Vrindavan, he spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in songs and which brings auspiciousness to all. So with relation to text 13, in that little phrase, he appeared in the Satvata dynasty, Sridhar Swami says that these verses answer the objection. What's the objection? If Krishna enjoys and performs actions like us, how can he be considered Vishnu? Sridhar Swami is saying these verses are responding to that doubt or question or perspective. So how he is all pervasive while he is appearing in a human-like form as a member of a certain dynasty and does things that he does. How can we say that he's Vishnu? It's answering that question. This is the opinion of a skeptic, since Akura has already stated his firm faith in Krishna. Paragraph. Krishna is the agent in the creations of Maya. And that's the lot. Cosmic manifestation and all of its diversity. Krishna is the agent in the creations of Maya, which attains ability by his glance. In glancing, he is devoid of absorption in the task. Aham rahitaha. By not being absorbed, he is completely different from the jivas, because we get absorbed in Maya. By his chit-shakti, or swatejasa, he dissolves absorption in ignorance and ideas concerning difference. This distinguishes the Lord from the jivan muktas who have destroyed ignorance. Jivan muktas means they've come to the stage of liberation. He doesn't come to the stage of liberation. He's distinguished even from liberated souls in this way. Chit shakti means yogamaya. So then he makes a reference to Bhagavatam 3:15-26. The translation that given here, through the yogamaya of the Lord, the Kumaras attained Vaikuntha. So that 3:15-26, that's the Kumaras are at the gates of Vaikuntha. In the BBT Prabhupada's translation, thus the great sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar, upon reaching the above mentioned Vaikuntha in the spiritual world by dint of their mystic yoga performance, he translates it mystic yoga performance, but it's in the Sanskrit is yogamaya, by spiritual potency. And balena, by the influence of yogamaya or spiritual potency, he has attained upetya. So he was able to go to the gates of Vaikuntha by yogamaya or spiritual potency. Thus, the chit shakti of the Lord and his direct presence are not different. So either way, the Kumara is going to the gates of Vaikuntha, or the Lord manifesting himself before someone. Either you go or he goes. It's dependent upon his chit shakti and not otherwise. You can't go there and you can't see him here. Although he's all pervasive, that's the Vishnu part. The shakti causes destruction of ignorance, that's chit shakti. The Lord is perceived by the jivas, endowed with karmendriyas, the indriyas of karma, working senses, karmendriyas. So, jiva is helping us because karmendriyas is not in this verse, text 11, but prana is. So prana works the working senses, or is the... Prana powers or moves the working senses. You would say it negatively. Your working senses can't move without prana. He's got to go. So, let's do it again. Jiva Goswami is using prana and karmendriyas, or working senses, interchangeably. That they're not identical, but prana moves the working senses. Without prana, your working senses can't move. Even you have senses that's subtle now. It's not the organs, but it's the subtle sense. And then gyanindriyas. Okay. Aksha. What's aksha? Aksha. And the antakarana, prana, aksha, and antakarana. Now, that antakarana is not in the verse, but let's see here. Dibhi. So, dibhi, that's intelligence. Bodhi, or D. But D, antakarana is a term that it's used by our acharyas. It's hard to find it other than our acharyas. I've searched. And to me it seems it's the impressions, the sum total impressions within the mind. So like, you know, over many lifetimes, there's many impressions. And that impressions is anta, that's within, and karana, causation. So we do things impelled by antakarana. Or, you know, the mind. The impressions, totality, the force of the impressions within the mind. And then there's prana. Did you find it, the meaning of aksha? A-K-S-A. Let's see if it's in the word for word. Yeah, the senses. The senses. That's in the word for word. Aksha is the senses. Aksha. That's what it says here. Maybe there's other meanings. Huh? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank you. That's right. Aksha. Yeah. How did I miss that? Okay, now back to where we were. Aksha. The Lord is perceived by the jivas endowed with, so the jivas are endowed with prana, aksha, and dibhi. So, life, air, senses, and the mind. So one can say it negatively or reverse. One can perceive the Lord through all three of them. But it's indirectly. Then he quotes Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Mame bangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. This is the angsa. The eternal jivas are my angsas, because that's in the verse. So who are the angsas? It's the living entities. The living entities can perceive the Lord through those three mediums, indirectly. Then he quotes Uddhava Gita, Canto 11, Chapter 13, where the statement is there, Krishna is explaining three states of consciousness. What are the three states of consciousness? Waking, sleep, and deep sleep. Jagra, Swapna, and Sushupta. Jagra is your wake. Swapna, your sleep. And susupta, so shupta, deep sleep. Waking, sleeping, and deep sleep, the three functions of the intelligence, are caused by the three gunas. The jiva is ascertained to be different from these three states, since it is only the witness of them. That's his translation of 11:13:27. Thus, in this verse, Atman refers to the jiva. All of that was to make that declaration. The angsa and the jiva, and that's what was being referred to. The pure jiva, as the observer, can perceive the Lord through, though covered by senses, and antakarana, that's the mind, the sum total of mental impressions. these jivas are endowed with senses by Maya, by the glance of the Lord. Since Maya does not have capacity on her own, the jivas do not have enough knowledge on their own to accomplish this, since they are dependent on the Lord. The Lord who is a paragraph. The Lord who is attached to performing playful actions among the trees of Vrindavan and in the gopis' houses, Sada Neshu, can be perceived in front of these jivas. Again and again, Akura has had doubts that he would see Krishna since he was so playful. Since Krishna would perceive that Akura was not attached in their type of prema, Krishna may not be visible to his eyes. Very complicated. Interesting and quite complicated. Or, because Krishna destroys the jiva's ignorance and the resultant perception of difference and confusion, Brahma, by his chit-shakti in their bodies, so as he, also the living entities connected with him, become free from those shortcomings. The Lord is perceived by conditioned jivas, produced by the Lord's maya, by jivas who have attained action and knowledge senses, as well as antakarana, by the influence of cause and effect. Without that influence, the senses, etc., cannot do their actions. That's the end for this morning. So it's pretty complicated, highly philosophical. It reminds me of chapter 87 of the 10th canto. It's really complicated. Or subtle. Maybe complicated isn't the right word. Boiling it down to some simple points, to perceive Krishna is possible through the agency that Krishna's creative potency provides living entities, the jiva, with coverings, prana, ganindriyas, and karmindriyas. So one can perceive him indirectly, because the seeing is at the level of the soul and the agency. If one is benedicted by Krishna's spiritual potency, then those deluding forces won't work. Just as for Krishna, the deluding forces also don't work because of the same chit shakti. So there's him and there's the living entity. And he's manifests a form. One, it's not a material form. And even it's a form, he's not influenced by having a form, but has senses, mind, and intelligence because he has chit shakti. And then comes this doubt. Well, wait a minute. If you're in a body, then you're going to experience things even if you're not identifying with it. It doesn't mean that doesn't mean that he's not conscious any more than the living entity can be conscious of him even when within a body. But they're not identifying with the body, they're identifying with him. And how does that made possible? He can appear before one through his chit shakti. It's kind of building on something that came right at the very beginning of his, I'm an insignificant, covered, detached living entity. How is it that I'm going to be able to see Krishna? I'm disqualified. Then comes, well, he's merciful, so he can make himself available. He makes himself even available to bad people. So certainly he can make himself available to me. So now this is taking that, it's going a little more deeply, philosophically. How is that perception? Like that reference to that canto 2 verse, that one can perceive the Lord by taking help from the intelligence. You familiar with that verse and purport? It's really interesting. And, you know, it ends up not being the same as seeing his personal form. But it's a philosophical seeing the Lord by with help of the intelligence. So he hasn't seen the Lord yet. He's confident that he will. He's having doubts, you know, but he is now going more deeply into addressing those doubts. One more time. Living at just as A, then also B. Or just as B, then also A. Just as living entities, jivas, that are protected by the Lord's chit-shakti through their mind, through their working senses and knowledge-acquiring senses, they can have indirectly a sense of the presence of the personality of Godhead. They're not going to be influenced by ignorance and its byproducts. Bewilderment. What's the other one? Illusion. So, living entities can realize Krishna even in their embodied state by the agency of Krishna's chit shakti. Similarly, the Lord, he's the energizer of cause and effect just by his glance. He energizes Maya and the cause and effect starts. He's the remote cause. That's described also in a very complicated way in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's material cause, the efficient cause, and he's the remote cause. So he who's the cause of cause and effect is unattached, and that he's protected from, although he's in the world, he's protected from the involvement of the world by his own spiritual potency, sva tejasa, or what's the other term? Sva tejasa, chit shakti, and then this other. The other reference is being made that four Kumaras were able to see the Lord because of Yogamaya. They attained that state by Yogamaya. In other words, you can't go to the gates of Vaikuntha without the Lord's potency. So in that case, the Yogamaya means it's interchangeable with Chit Shakti. You can't go to Vaikuntha, you can't see the Lord anywhere or see him at the gates of Vaikuntha without spiritual potency. So one can by spiritual potency. We're dependent. So he's recognizing, the Kura's recognizing, I'm dependent, but the Lord is merciful, and he has spiritual potency, and he can make it possible for even covered people to see him. So that's just the philosophical elaboration on something that came at the beginning of his prayers, at least as far as I can understand. Let's see if there's some discussion. Kind of high philosophy, isn't it? Everyone's scratching their heads like, what was all that about?
Guru Maharaj, I have one question, Guru Maharaj.
Okay.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned that Krishna can make us to see Krishna, basically.
Yes.
And I have a desire to see Krishna. So then what is stopping, why I'm not able to see Krishna?
Well, it's two things. One thing is, we're covered, or our desire is not sufficiently strong, and it's weakened by our conditioning or coverings. And the other is, even if we're not covered, it's still the requirement is mercy. Krishna must exercise or extend his chit shakti, and then we can see him, and otherwise we cannot. you cannot. So both purity and Krishna's mercy. Are there some online questions? Okay, you want to read them?
First time asking the...
Oh, you have something, okay.
Is it similar to, in Bhagavad Gita 2.20, there's an analogy which states that even a child can understand that there's, when the sun is behind the cloud, even a child can understand that the sun still exists because the light is there. And therefore, we can understand.
Yes. That's inference. That kind of understanding is inference. It's anuman, by inference. There may be some, you know, difference, subtle difference between what's being said here and that metaphor, and I'd like to think about it, but I consider carefully, but it sounds, you know, that's certainly quite similar, if not identical. Okay? Online? Just one.
This is a question from Tulya Mataji. Okay. Maharaj, you mentioned that even in devotional service, one's motivation may be separate from Krishna. I sometimes pray that I carry out my tasks to please Krishna. How to overcome separatist mentality towards Krishna while rendering devotional service?
Well, you'll get a really close and elaborate explanation in Canto 3, Chapter 29, the beginning verses. It describes devotional service influenced by the modes. The short answer is by coming to the mode of goodness, where ignorance and passion become reduced. And we know from Canto 1, Chapter 2, how ignorance and passion are reduced. It's the verses that directly describe. And it's by the process of hearing and chanting. Of course, there's the qualitative aspect of hearing and chanting that reduce ignorance and passion. And as ignorance and passion mode in our life reduces, then goodness becomes more prominent, and then the separatist mentality also subsides. And then beyond goodness is totally pure. That's the how-to. Okay. That's it. Srila Prabhupada Ki.